This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, having a healthy pregnancy is one of the best ways to promote a healthy birth and a healthy baby. And getting early and regular prenatal care improves the chances of a healthy pregnancy. Here with more on this is Dr. Alexandra Spadola. She's Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University and the Obstetrical Director of the Central New York Regional Perinatal Program. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Help us understand what we mean by perinatal care.
Perinatal is a term that refers, as you said, not just to the birth event itself or to the pregnancy, but really linking it to a woman's life in the sense of the preconception period, which really is anyone who's of reproductive age and healthy and not actively preventing conception, as well as to the postpartum period.
So basically, you're talking about things that health concerns or health consciousness, care around your health, if you could be of the age to conceive and therefore become pregnant.
We try to promote the idea of thinking about preparing for pregnancy, even if you're not actively trying to have a baby.
So give me a sense of when we say, what are the kinds of things that comprise this kind of care? Let's start with preconception.
Sure. Preconceptually, we work a lot with women who have medical conditions in which thinking about a pregnancy may involve looking at lists of medications and thinking about medication changes or discontinuing medications even prior to conception that may be dangerous in pregnancy. It's thinking about optimizing your health, whether that's improving control of diabetes or hypertension. It's about making sure that folic acid is part of your daily health routine. And of course, the lifestyle issues that we, you know, highly promote for everyone, which are being of a healthy weight and healthy nutrition.
How about things like, your family history and to just kind of go back over your family history and make sure there aren't things that are lurking that you might need to be tested for? Things like, for example, something that comes up in my mind, like Tay-Sachs disease or some kinds of issues like that.
Sure. I think, this is where primary health care providers can, when they're taking those family histories, identify the things that younger women and men may not be thinking of that might affect them in terms of the, less common kinds of genetic conditions that may run in family. So certainly we always promote the idea of talking with your parents about health conditions.
But how about things also that are always, to me, in my mind, important around a pregnancy or the health of a pregnancy, like avoiding smoking or smoking cessation or, minimizing the amount of alcohol intake or any kind of drug abuse, frankly.
Absolutely.
Those kinds of things.
The incidence of opioids and opiate use, unfortunately, in this country has increased about 300% over the last decade.
Wow.
So this is a huge piece that we're really dealing with in perinatal care. But certainly smoking cessation, that's one of the biggest lifestyle changes that a woman can make that will improve the health of her baby, again, not just in the womb, but postnatally as an infant. And we really, again, say that secondhand smoke is just as bad. Maybe even this idea of third-hand smoke, where smoke is in the clothing or in the carpets, and babies who are, certainly close to floors and their environment, may be affected by those factors.
And people don't really understand that or are sensitive to those, especially this third-hand smoke idea.
Yeah.
Once you're pregnant, what are the kinds of things you recommend? I mean, how frequently should you be checked? What are the kinds of things that should be taking place?
Well, researchers have shown that women who enter into care in the first trimester are going to have healthier outcomes. It provides us that first opportunity after a woman finds out that she's pregnant to, again, address some of those lifestyle issues, some of the environmental factors, such as nutrition, interesting data on things like the pesticides that we use in our home, making sure people are aware of their environment, not just the prescriptions that their doctors have given them, but what's around them and how that can affect their developing baby.
And the doctor will be doing kind of blood tests and all kinds of ultrasound.
We do a lot of screening on that first visit, again, looking for some of the family risks and just general health factors. Are you up to date on your immunizations? Are you vulnerable to certain infections? How's your blood counts? Are you anemic? Things that may, again, change some of the recommendations as pregnancy continues.
How important is folic acid? You alluded to it earlier. Tell us about it. What does it do?
Most people, we hope, understand that folic acid is one of the few micronutrients that really has an impact on the developing fetus in terms of a woman not being deficient. This is primarily been promoted as a way to decrease the incidence of birth defects, specifically a group of conditions called neural tube defects. This includes spina bifida and a very severe condition in which the cranium doesn't develop, something called anencephaly.
Does folic acid occur in our daily diet generally, and how often? I mean, is it, you mentioned that especially perinatally or prenatally, you might actually want to make sure that somebody starts taking that as a vitamin supplement. So why is it necessary to supplement it, or is it necessary to supplement it?
So one of the big public health changes that happened when we recognized the link between certain birth defects and folic acid was that it is in a variety of foods, grains, cereals. So oftentimes women are getting some in their daily diets, but we do feel that an extra amount is important, especially for younger women or women with health conditions such as diabetes, where an extra, making sure they're really fully supplemented with folic acid may lower their risks.
So therefore, it's really included in all of these pregnancy vitamins.
Exactly. It's part of the perinatal multivitamin.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Alexandra Spadola, and we're talking about the importance of perinatal care, both to protecting the health of the mother and obviously that of the baby. So you are involved. Central New York has a regional perinatal program. Tell us about that. What is it?
Sure. Well, my predecessor, Dr. Richard Aubrey, in the 1970s, recognized that in areas like Central New York, where there's large distances between hospitals and varying levels of care for mothers and babies at different hospitals, that creating a network in which women could be triaged and transported to higher levels of care would improve infant outcomes. And so that program, which was one of the first in the country, started in 1976, and it's been a really remarkable success story in terms of lowering the infant mortality in Central New York to this day. What we're emphasizing as time continues is that while we've improved infant mortality, nationally maternal mortality has slowly increased over the last several decades. And this is a multifactorial problem.
Yeah, name some of the things that are contributing to that.
Yeah, so more women have medical conditions that increase their risks in pregnancy. These include diabetes, hypertension, obesity. We know that on average, more women are delaying childbearing after the age of 35. That may increase some of the health risks of pregnancy. And historically in this country, especially women who live in poverty, have not had as good access to preconception care and early prenatal care. And we're hopeful that some of the changes nationally with the Affordable Care Act will help women really be in better health and have better access to care prior to pregnancy.
So the idea here is to create an outreach, kind of a network, much like you did before, or much like this program did before for the health of the babies, now that the focus is somewhat more on the health of the moms. How do you outreach with the different hospitals regionally? Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, here in Syracuse, we receive anywhere from 1 to 4 transports a day of women coming from our outlying 18 hospitals that refer into the perinatal program, which is a joint effort between SUNY Upstate Medical Center and Krause Hospital. So it's a wonderful way in which hospitals around the region, from Messina to Binghamton, can send oftentimes their pregnant patients who are hospitalized to see us and hopefully deliver if they need to here at Krause with the care of the excellent NICU, neonatology service.
So if they were to give birth here because they were developing some kind of problems, I don't know, give us an example, preeclampsia,
sure.
Some kind of...
Sure, so some of the most common are severe early preeclampsia.
Help us understand what that is.
Yeah, preeclampsia is unfortunately one of the biggest contributors to mortality and a lot of health complications around the time of delivery.
For both mother and baby?
For both mother and baby. For babies, it's a big contributor to prematurity. It's a condition of hypertension in pregnancy.
So they develop in pregnancy a high blood pressure,
right.
Abnormally high.
Abnormally high, and most often in the third trimester, rarely even in the second trimester. And it's cured essentially by delivering the baby. We think of it as a somewhat abnormal conversation between the placenta sending messages to the woman's body. And so delivery seems to cure the woman, although we can still see complications in the postpartum period. And unfortunately, severe hypertension and stroke can be some of the preventable complications that happen after a woman has left the hospital after her delivery.
So if a woman shows those kinds of high-risk issues, symptoms, how does your regional center deal with it? Just take us through that. What happens?
Sure. So oftentimes a woman is transported for intensified surveillance in a hospital setting, especially when a woman is not yet term in the pregnancy. There may be a role for watching and waiting for benefit for the baby to avoid some of the severe effects of being born premature. So we do that with daily monitoring of the baby and daily monitoring of the mother so that we can really optimize the health outcomes for both parties.
So basically, they'll be delivered here, and then, as you said, you have a neonatal. I mean, they'll be watched, and then if necessary, the baby will be delivered early, and then the baby will be in a safe harbor, so to speak, with a very highly developed neonatal unit.
Right. So we have a level 4 unit. We have the largest neonatology unit in the region, and a lot of experience of improving outcomes for the smallest and earliest babies.
You also mentioned that there's been a focus more, even within the state, on the health of women, of the mother, so to speak. Tell us more about that initiative and what it's about.
Right. So this year, two initiatives are starting. One is through the Department of Health, and one is through our professional organization, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. And these initiatives are surrounding preeclampsia, again, this disease of hypertension that can really place the mother and baby at risk, as well as obstetrical hemorrhage. So unfortunately, both of these conditions can happen to women who are otherwise healthy and have no predisposing risk factors for either of these events.
I don't want to run out of time. What is the state doing, just very quickly?
So what we're doing is collecting data and having some interventions that will be performed at all hospitals to ensure that some of the evidence-based practices that have been shown to reduce some of these maternal severest of consequences are placed in every hospital in the state, again, trying to optimize and prevent some of what we think is very preventable poor health outcomes.
Wonderful. Well, it sounds like you're really on a roll here with all of this, and it sounds like you're taking this whole idea to the next level, especially focusing now on the moms as well. I want to thank you so much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Alexandra Spadola. She's Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University and the Obstetric Director of the Central New York Perinatal Regional Program. Once again, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.